Moncrief on News Talk.
Most of us apparently aren't that emotionally intelligent, meaning that we can often needlessly stick our feet in our mouths. And weirdly, artificial intelligence might be able to help. Marie Toft is founder of Emotionize AI, which is training an AI to be sensitive to the feelings of other people. Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Actually, before we get to the nub of it, because people often hear this phrase, training AI, what does that mean and how does it work?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? So AI is all fueled by data. And that's what a lot of people don't really understand. And that's why you're hearing so much about data centers and data is the new oil. So if you want to train AI, the best way to train it is to create data. And that's what we've been doing for the last 3 years. We've been creating data to fine tune and train artificial intelligence.
Okay, so what does that mean then, giving it data? What kind of data do you give it? You know, is it kind of, there's a human that it's interacting with and you're constantly kind of correcting the AI to get it right?
A little bit like that, yeah. So there's lots of different ways to create data. You can use synthetic data. So synthetic data, for example, if you put a lot of prompts into ChatGPT and it gave you a load of data, that data is coming from AI as opposed to from people. I mean, we're in a really interesting situation where 5 years ago, everything on the internet was created by a person. That is no longer the case. Mm. A lot of content now is created, as we know, by AI. So we create what's called human touch data. So we have, because our niche area is emotional intelligence, we're using people to write that data that then trains the AI.
Okay, and so what are they writing that's training the AI?
It's quite a sophisticated labelling system, Sean. So first of all, I can't get too into it in the sense that that's our intellectual property and how we label.
Oh, right, secret. Okay,
it's a little bit of a secret.
Okay, well, my feelings are hurt. So
it's not a huge secret. I mean, there's people doing this all over the world. But, you know, so for example, what we've trained AI to do is to recognise what is good emotional intelligence and to recognise what isn't good emotional intelligence, and then to give you reasons why that sentence or paragraph might not land in a valued way with your target audience.
Okay.
So basically what writers are doing is they're getting those bits of data and they're deciding that data that has good emotional intelligence, this is the reason why. And they're creating all of that data that is then used to train the AI so it can recognise the same thing.
Okay, so then in a practical application, the AI would monitor something, an email, for instance, somebody was writing.
That's right. So the way our AI model EMER works is that let's say you're writing an email or you're sending a text message. We're completely text-based. There are other AI systems that can recognise emotion in voice, for example. That's not what we do. We're purely text. So as you're writing, if you think about your spell check, for example. We're all so used to spell check now. I don't know, you and I are old enough to remember when you'd have to actually go and say, do a spell check.
Yeah, there's a thing called a dictionary for our younger listeners.
Whereas now you're writing and a blue squiggle appears on a word and it's telling you. We're a bit like that for emotion. So as you're writing, it's moving in and it's saying, look, that sentence may not land in a great way with your target audience, so we suggest maybe you could change it to this. That's
right.
What it's doing.
Okay. And so is there then an agreed upon definition of what is emotional intelligence? Or can that vary from person to person?
It can completely vary from person to person. So only 36% of us are actually emotionally intelligent. So we all have different levels of what constitutes emotional intelligence. And even from a cultural point of view, it's really interesting. You know, for example, the way Irish and British and US people perceive the way they feel valued. It would be different, for example, to even somewhere so quite close like Germany or the Netherlands, where they would be a little bit blunter in the way they communicate. And, you know, then we go to the Middle East where it's different again, and then we go to Japan. However, what's really interesting, so my background is I worked in communications and journalism and TV production and radio production for years. So I spent 20 years honing my language skills and my communication skills. And then I went back to university and studied psychotherapy. So effectively what we've trained AI is in both of those skills, judicious use of language armed with emotional intelligence. So when it comes to emotional intelligence, we use three definitions in terms of how we train AI. So the first one is, to be emotionally intelligent, you need to be self-aware. That's in very short supply.
Yeah.
then to be emotionally intelligent, you also need to be able to regulate your emotions. So if you come under provocation or attack, you need to be able to take a breath and maybe respond in an emotionally intelligent way as opposed to a defensive way. And then finally, emotional intelligence really, really makes a huge difference when it comes to relationships. So based on that and how you... So for example, if you say to somebody, come to my office immediately. If you were to get an email like that, you'd go, oh God, what have I done?
Yeah.
Right? So our AI would move in and say, look, if you send this in an email to someone, they're going to feel really worried and nervous and afraid. So we suggest you say, when you have a minute, could you pop around? It's important I speak to you. That's different to come to my office immediately. What's fascinating is, this might make sense to you and I because, you know, we're communicators, but actually these skills can be in very short supply. Talk to people in large corporates and they get quite toxic emails, which can really damage someone and can really set the cat amongst the pigeons. And people are putting out fires left, right and centre. Whereas what we've done is democratised that skill of emotional intelligence, where it's saying the same thing, but in a more emotionally intelligent way.
Okay, so the AI is saying to the person who's composing, say, the email, that sounds a bit angry, that sounds a bit curt, that sounds a bit antagonistic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what's really interesting is, of course, you know, you could argue maybe sometimes, you know, it calls for a bit of straight talking, of course. Now, what's fascinating about AI, and we're already there in our technology and the way we're building it, is AI will eventually remember the emails you've sent to Joe. And in fact, when it comes to leadership, particularly because we make models for employee engagement and for customer support, one of the things about leadership I find really interesting is my favorite way of being a leader, or, you know, the way I would like to emulate leadership is kind but firm. There's actually a lot of organizations which don't take enough of a firm line sometimes and have to kind of go, look, that behavior is unacceptable. Where AI is heading now, Sean, is it will remember, this is the third time you've spoken to Joe. Maybe you need to take a firmer tone now. So it's actually really remembering.
Right, okay, so we will have some memory of who you're talking. Because say if you're, AI won't know if you're sending an email to a German, in which case you can just say, you're fired, clear your desk. And, you know, they'll take that in the spirit it was intended, as opposed to if it was an Irish person, it's not you, it's me, you know.
We'll
miss you terribly and all that kind of stuff. Why are 64% of people then not emotionally intelligent? What's wrong with them?
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Where do we get emotional intelligence, and how much of it is nature and how much of it is nurture? You know, this age old kind of argument. We learn emotional intelligence from observing human behavior. And some of us are just better at that and more empathetic than others. I mean, I know all of the workplaces I've been in, some people are definitely more emotionally intelligent than others. Sometimes in leadership, there isn't necessarily an empathy there as well. And what's interesting is, unfortunately, those levels of emotional intelligence are dwindling, because if you think that we learn emotional intelligence from observing human behavior, unfortunately, the younger generation are doing a lot less of that now because they're on screens, and it hasn't helped that we were locked up for 2 years. So those empathy levels are actually dwindling. But it is part of what makes us human, and it is an important skill. In fact, in terms of workplace and particular customer support, it is a power skill.
Yeah. Marie Toft is the founder of Emotionize AI. Marie, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Sean. Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.